Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, we are still on the sacred place, or sacred place, the church. Genesis 28, where Jacob, on that journey, and he took the stones, and then as he slept, in verse 12, he dreamed, which is a vision, and verse 12, Genesis 28, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top reached to heaven, which we said is a contrast to Genesis 11:4, and he says, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it. So the Son of Man is the Lord here, right? That's Jesus. Are you here? And said, I'm the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, God of Isaac. The land whereon you lie to them, to thee will I give to you and your seed. And we said, the land can't be where the stone was, because he's in a vision. So the land that he was in the vision. That's why that land is always supernaturally revealed. Just like to his father Isaac and to his granddad Abraham, the land was always where you lie. It's not where he was that is referred to. However, where he was that place of revelation. So he called the place Bethel, which is the gate, verse 17, the gate of heaven. Now the emphasis we took on Sunday was that the Lord is in this place I didn't know. And so we said, it's possible to be totally ignorant of God's secret place, and you are just ignorant of it. Secondly, but when he knew, he said he gave reverence. So there is reverence. It was, and we looked at that word in the scripture, and I showed you, maybe I should open it again. It's not, the word was, he said, dreadful is this place. No. It's just like the song we sang, I did not sing that song, and it says, the Lord is in this place I did not know, was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? That's the word, awesome. You know, awesome. Something that brings wonders. How awesome is this place? And we said on Sunday that I didn't go much into that, that he now anointed it. And I said the use of anointing, which is where you have, where he poured oil, and I showed you the word there, the word yashak. Which practically means to paint the surface, okay? And then he anointed it with, or the word shaman. Shaman really is meant to represent life, that this place is alive. So, and it's a cryptic mention of the Garden of Eden, because again, it's a garden, trees. So it's taken from the olive oil, and it's meant to represent, you know, the purest of oils, life, flowing life. So every time they anoint a place, or put shaman there, which is called only eventually, is to show that there's life here, or heavenly life. So that's the core. Now, like I said, it's a culture, it's not basically ancient culture, but it's Mesopotamian, well, basically, it's from the Chaldeans. It's a culture they use, we see it in Africa as well, where they use, they pour libation, you know, they use stuff to say this is a holy area, a holy ground. So the use of oil, we said, is Old Testament. Old Testament is a cultural usage. Cultural usage majorly is the Old Testament. But the message is not Old Testament. So Old Testament is the context culturally. It's not the theological context, okay? That's Old Testament. That's why it's dangerous to call Genesis Malachi Old Testament, because you can safely remove the cultural context and leave the theological context, and it's safe. Is that clear? Uh-huh. The only thing that is not safe in the Old Testament books is the cultural transmission, where you are made to do, just like the use of circumcision. Circumcision is not solely biblical, because it's in many cultures in Africa. The use of temple is not physical temple to shrine, to enshrine idols, is not exclusive to the Bible. That's Old Testament. But a sacred place for supernatural beings or for God is not Old Testament. That's not cultural. Okay, the use of a physical place, yes, it's cultural. But Yahweh doesn't have a physical place because he owns the earth. And no other being lays that claim. So that's the Old Testament context of scripture. But outside that, the theological context of it is not Old Testament. It's renewed every time. Okay? Is that okay? So we said, heaven and earth intersection here is a holy place. He said, I didn't know. So which means it's very possible to have a manifestation of God and you are totally oblivious. I mean, if anyone Look at John 1. John 1:14. The word became flesh. And John used the word skeno, which is skeni, which is tabernacle. And dwelt among us. It came to his own, and his own received him not. He came to the world, John 1:11, and the world did not know him. So there's a probability, you know, there's a sort of relationship to be there and not know this is what is going on. And so I point something on Sunday, and go back to the next Sunday. I'll just go very brief because my emphasis this evening is very different. The fact that the very first sacred place in scripture in the earth was Garden of Eden. And Genesis 3:1, the Nakash was there. And how would you have the Nakash in the sacred area? Which means that just like Genesis 2:15 proposes, we are the ministers of that sacred area. We make it what it turns out to be. Who told you? Who told you you were naked? I mean, that is a rhetorical question, which means that he allowed. And you look at Romans 5:12, one man, sin entered. I have the word esekomai, which means that it was allowed in. So we said again, I'm just revealing Sunday, that when Jesus entered that temple, he said, my father's house is a house of prayer, but you have made it. Remember that word? Can you remember we said that Sunday? You made it. So we can make church an entertainment place. Just like the earth is his rest place, but there's still chaos in many places. It doesn't change the fact that that is the true identity of the gathering. You can say, oh, you know, guys, let's have fun. Another says, you may ask a merchandise, he said, then of thieves, you know, he said, yet it's a house of prayer. Mark 11:17, for all nations. So the moment we are asking ourselves, what do we want for church? We are no longer worshiping God. What do we want for church? What do we want? Guys, you know, church has been boring of late. What can we do to spice up the service? You know, stuff like that. Then, it's like we are in this place, the Lord does not know. That's how it's supposed to pan out. So, this leads us to the word house of God, Bethel, which now expands into the use of the tabernacle, the temple. And eventually the Father's house in John 14, 1 and 2. And the gathering of believers, 1 Timothy 3:15. We'll see that in a moment. And then 1 Corinthians 3:16. So this is the core of what it is. 1 Timothy 3:15, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave in the house of God. So which means that the fact that is the house of God does not mean we cannot misbehave. Now you know how to behave in the house of God, which is the church. The house of God, which is the ecclesia, the calling, the gathering. The house of God. So our physical gathering is the house of God. You can't treat God. I said this on Sunday. I said, you do not rearrange a man's house for him. And I say, well, I think we should, and we've done that many times in the church world. We say, well, someone said, that one can't walk again, this is a 2023, you can't walk again. I say, is that how God wants his house? Remember that when he rose from the dead, of course, we've done this study and said that the Old Testament prophets never imagined that the physical building was house. Remember that. It was always a learning curve for them. You know, when he rose from the dead, okay, before that, let me just say this. And in John 2, when he says, what shall the signs of these things be? And he says, to show this temple after 3 days, I'll raise it again. I said, how old are you? He says, and then he spoke of the temple of his body. And I showed you that the word temple of his body there is not physical body, right? Remember that? That is the word soma. We did that study on Sunday. Then we said that, when he rose from the dead, now remembered, right, and believed the scriptures, which means that what he said was right there in the Old Testament. They now believed it. So now, the intent of that is that the concept of the house of God is embedded in the Old Testament practices, even though you know, there's the Old Testament aspect of it, which is the cultural. Therefore, we must treat the house of God with as much sacredness, reverence, the kind of respect. I mentioned on Sunday late coming. I mentioned attitudes. It's because you don't know where you are. You think you are just at 608 Street. No. 608 Street, right, is there. Okay? But there is a where. Where are we? We are in the house of God. That's where we are. We are in the house of God. So the congregation is, and we said on Sunday, it also includes supernatural beings, right? We are in the house of God. So our attitude, therefore, will be that of, for example, if I go anywhere, I don't get to gist in the service. I don't get to gist in the service. I don't get to come late for a service. I don't get to gist anywhere, because I know where I am. I know exactly where I am. So you should know where you are. Where are we? We are in a sacred area. When we come together and we form that habitation of God through His Spirit, Ephesians 2:21 and 22, our attitude must show that we know where we are. So this is heaven and earth, right? Uh-huh. This meeting tonight is heaven and earth. I didn't say heaven on earth alone. It's heaven and earth. It's an intersection. Don't just use those words. I'm an intersection. You come late to church. I'm an intersection of heaven and earth. Glory to God. Glory to God. And then, sorry, that brother, I want to say something now. You can go. Then you stand up 5 times to go to the restroom. I was saying it before you stood up. Anyway. It's an intersection of God. And that's all, you know, we like just cliche. I'm the house of prayer. I'm the house of prayer. Prayer group, you are sleeping. You know, I'm the house of His glory. Oh, who? Glory, who? So the house of His glory. That's how I came for evangelism. For WCC 2018. That's a bit far. But that's true. It's just mounting it. It's not something that you really are convinced about. So, we must know where we are. Now, I want to show something. And this is, pay very good attention to this. Why, you know, I've been saying that from Genesis 3, man was responsible, because he's the priest, right, to dress and keep it. In Genesis 2:15, he's responsible. A guy once asked me, he said, I noticed that, this is by the way, it was the general of Assyria in Nigeria, so it was in the protocol team, but I think it was now closer, so he now asked me that, he didn't just ask me. He mentioned it was, he came to my office then in VI. Then he said, I don't know this church. He said, he just mentioned the church that they are not seeing things, you know, power of God. You know. So I didn't really pay attention to what he was saying. So if you had been to that office for, it was downstairs, I was up. So he was saying something you could hear. Talking about that general Pasea. So I came and I saw him. So I let him exhaust his energy. So he now came up and then he started talking, saying, Pastor, I was asking you, you know, why are we not seeing the hand of God? You know, he felt that the hand of God is just something that just shows up. I said, you should ask yourself, you know, all these things you have said, finger self will not show. All these things you just said now, you don't think it has an effect. We think it shouldn't have. No, it does. If the Nakash could be found in God's sacred place by man's permission, then we should think very well. Think very well. Think very well. And you know the funny thing about it is that this is very interesting. Both the man, the woman, and the Nakash, they were all expelled together. Because it's his house. Not theirs. Very key. That the garden is God's own. Alright? You are the house of God. It's not your house. Right? You are the, God is not your temple. You are His own temple.
If God was a temple, then he is there to worship you. No. So, God's made it his secret place, okay? We now have to anoint it, use that word figuratively, to treat it as special. Let me add this, by the way. Imagine if, I know some of us, when it comes to meetings like WCC, camp meeting, believers convention, there's a way we, I know some of you, I just pray, I say, WCC, they're coming next week, the convention is coming, maybe some of you are leaders, you have multiple services, and then you do something, you know. Now, imagine if you do that every service. Every service. You treat it the same way, you handle the same attitude. Now, let me show you something. Look at Numbers 11. Moses was talking to the Lord now in verse 10 or verse 11. It says, therefore, why have you afflicted thy servant? Wherefore, I have not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all these people upon me. Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them, that thou should say to me, carry them in thy bosom, as nursing father bears a stalking child? So he went on and on. Look at 14. I'm not able to bear all these people alone because it's too heavy for me. May he kill me, I pray thee, out of land, and so on. Look at 16. Lord said to him, gather unto me. Now, pay attention to this, because we'll come to New Testament in a moment. Gather unto me 70 elders, men of the elders of Israel, whom thou, see the shift, whom you know to be the elders of Israel. He didn't say, I'm going to give you 70 names, go and look for them. No. He said, whom you know to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them to the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand with you. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take off the spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them. They will bear the burden of the people with thee, and thou shalt not bear it alone. Now, go to 24. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the other people, and set them around about the tabernacle. Again, tabernacle is, again, a place of dwelling. The Lord came down in the cloud and spake unto him, and took of the spirit that was upon him, gave it to the 70 elders. It came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Now notice that flow. It was from Moses to the 70. So there was a contact person, as it were, and that was Moses. Seems like what God was doing in the life of Moses, or with Moses, he spread to others. Now, pause a bit. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Why would Paul speak a lot about us? And he says that if we don't interpret tongues, the other will not be edified. Edified by God. If we are rowdy, if we walk in the flesh, Paul says that other person will not be edified. But we are temple of God now. 1 Corinthians 3:16. I mean, God should be able to just do whatever he wants to do. It says, what we do matters. It matters. What we do, what I do, will matter. Because obviously, it's taking from what we have. Now, let me give you an instance. Have you been to a meeting before? And the meeting, everybody was ignorant. Everybody was spiritually daft. You know, that place is the temple of God. But it will not reflect it. What will usually change the atmosphere is one person. Why is it not that it is the Holy Ghost? Let me use the word alone, carelessly. That will just change. No, it has never happened. It will be the Holy Ghost walking through someone. Just follow what I'm saying tonight. That's what I'm saying tonight. It will never be, some people are just there, and they're just on their own. There will be someone in the house of Cornelius or someone, Peter. To the 12 disciples in Acts 19, there was someone, Paul. In Acts 2, the apostles, you know, Jesus had taught them. Peter said, is Jesus, right of the Father, shared this with you now, here and here. Acts 2, 33 and 34. So, there are people, and look, of course, the day of Pentecost, Peter and the 3,000 can go on and on. In Samaria, Philip, and then the men. Because Peter, James, and John, Philip, Peter, and John, who came pray for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, Acts 8, 14 and 15. So there is someone who will be, now, if it was in the congregation, they call him first responder. Somebody who just yield to the Holy Ghost first, they will all flow. Now, in this instance, you find Moses the leader, which means that we determine the character of that place. You and I do. We determine the character of that place. The reason why, like I told some of those elderly ministers of gospel, they asked me, then why, Chris, why don't we see this manifestation of the Old Testament? I said, it's the emphasis. There are things we see about Old Testament manifestations that they will not come. We say they are passed away. That's what we say. We said, no, God doesn't do that again, that, you know, God just, and there's nothing that says the written word. Now, I do understand the excesses that come with people not being taught the word and all that, but the word of God, that is we call the authority, it does inspire us to have such manifestations. So, if we could go through Moses, we know what we do does matter. What we do. So, now imagine, Paul said that if you all come together and you all speak with tongues and there's nobody interpreting, he said, would they not say you are mad? Now, why is it, why? I thought God is there now. Why would anybody say, well, God is already there, if God is there, just presence of God is over. He said, no. It's what you do that will give the character of that assembly. Say, but if you all come together, and everybody should prophesy. Everybody. Look at what one accord does. Everybody. You know, I was talking to some people today. It was not church. So we're talking about, it was an organization like that. So somebody had already written his registration letter. It was an organization like that. I just saw the guy. I said, he just told me. I said, hold on. I just picked the phone. I called two parties. I put all them on conference call. And I saw it again. So when we were talking, I said, you people don't even know the import of this unity. He said, when you called me, you sent me that text. I believe this is what you are saying. I said, you are always interpreting people's mind. He said, boy, that's what I felt. The other person said, no, I couldn't. And I said, this was so easy. They resolved it too, and everything moved forward. I said, you are just picking the phone. The someone I mentioned was one in the call. The guy said, do you know that there's something bigger than you guys? Said, us. That you should have gone behind, picked the phone, called the guy, and say, I felt this way when you said it. He'll probably respond. You resolve it. Come back to the collective people, and then build everyone together. I said, the disunity has greater impact than you think. You will just not be able to do anything. That's what, just nothing. You just be struggling. Now, I said to them, I'm a pastor. And I know what this does. It will just be, in mindset. I said, so. The person will just think, and this arrogance, for also what people, arrogance that have a relationship with God. A relationship with God. Who's relationship? Where's the relationship? Where's the relationship? Where's the relationship? Is he beyond the Bible? Is he beyond the relationship with God? Just sit down. It's not your boyfriend. Stop that nonsense. No God now. Arrogance. So when we give an instruction, somebody just says, it's just disrespect for this place. That's why I told you that there's this emphasis on the Holy Ghost within, and we forget the Holy Ghost amongst us. So I said to them, I said, imagine if, and that thing can happen anywhere, any organization, not just, this was not a spiritual organization. I said, in families, just call the person. That 10 minutes, you'll be breathing and be meditating upon, you are meditating upon the heart. You are just, and I said to you, that when you meditate on a heart, it usually exaggerates it. You'll not be linking things. Link this one. Link networking. That's why I had that day. Early in the morning, that's how he called me. The guy doesn't even know he called you. He said, he spoke this one. I know when you call this person aside, this is just growing like Tower of Babel. I said, no, just call. Say, you should have just called this guy. And just by phone call. In fact, the other man just sent me a text. Said, thank you for that call. Thank you for it. I said, I know these things very well. Sight makes us struggle when we should easily win. And everybody just going to lose. That's the thing. Everybody will lose. Usually people that strive don't see it until years later. Everybody will just lose. Boom. One day I was talking to Pastor God this week. We're not talking about our friends. I said, Brothers, have you ever imagined? If this fellow, he said, Shegun, I try not to imagine it. I said, imagine this guy. We're having a meeting. And you are preaching, I'm preaching, he's preaching. I mentioned four of us. He said, look, no, let's go there. He said, let's just, he said, it will bring bad memories. Because you know that we are better together. That's just the truth. I told you that we are deficient by what? Default. That's what it is. And when you now find the place where God has placed you, just stay there. And you go so struggling, you know, fighting, you know. Issues that later years you'll look back, I'll resolve this matter. It's not this difficult. That's how it works. So Paul says, when we now come together, watch what he said. He said, look, the same people, he said, if we just decide, someone say, I'll just be speaking in tongues, I don't care who's not blessed. I'll just say, go ahead, hallelujah, God. And everybody just, Paul says, then the unbeliever comes, the unlearned, they don't look at you and say, are you all mad? Rather than correct yourself, you say, you are the one that is mad. You zero man. You know nothing within these things. They say, just let me speak in tongues again. Let me bamboozle you. Guy say, weary. You say, your father is weary. I say that by the Holy Ghost. The time you should use to interpret the tongue, you are using it to curse. The guy now goes. But he says, if we are just sensible, the same people, I will just interpret it. He said, the same people fall down, the same house, the same venue, on his face, and worship God. Is that not the sacred place? And report, that is, just because we decided to treat the place properly, he will report that of a truth, God is in you. What changed the atmosphere? Attitude. That's all. Do you know it's not extra Holy Ghost? Just attitude. Now, bring that to any other thing. Our attitude matters a lot. The way we treat the meeting, the way we handle it, the way we, you know, the way we prepare for it. I said, the same unbeliever that would have said, you are mad, now falls down on his face and raises his hands. And worships God. And report that all the truth. 1 Corinthians 14:25, God is in you. So which means that we must know the attitude of this place. We must know the attitude of this place. I was saying on Sunday, imagine we are now putting the advertisement on the screen. Please put off your phone. Do you need to be told? But you have to be told. Okay, can I put on my phone? Oh, okay, sorry, just a minute. He's the worst. What's wrong with this one? Some even stayed. You know, there was one guy. We had this meeting. It was 1998. We called it Word on the Mission. So I didn't preach. I was teaching that minister, my friend, then. So this guy was a member of one of the ministries. the pastor. So as the meeting began, and you know, he just had to walk out. There was just a way he just walked out. Put his hand on the ground. So we just went after him. We used to do that a lot. I remember one meeting like that. Pastor Chris came to Ibadan, 1996, at Premier Hotel. So he gave the word of knowledge. Pastor Oyakilome. He gave the word of knowledge and we just talked. I said, who been? We're looking, who is the person? He didn't call the person. I just said, there's a woman. I just said, MG, bring that woman. We went to look for her and said, you! She was the one. Go. You be the one. She went down and he ministered to her. So we used to do things like that. You know, very funny guys were. Said, bring the Holy Ghost. So what he said, guy just went, was going, we just went after me and Pastor Dokun. Pastor Dokun is in Rema, Nigeria. We just went after him. Said, Mochi, stop. We said, concerning spiritual. That's how he said it. That's how he answered. He said, concerning spiritual. I said, I know these things. So I said, He said, the Holy Ghost is staying because he doesn't know. That's the answer I gave him. He just thought. So Pastor Dokun just gave me a word of knowledge. The guy was sick. Said, you know, if I open his eyes, so you have to stay, right? Yeah. I'll just take it back. You're back. But the point was, what can I ask him? And the same person will now leave the place and I'm going for a doctor. Bad at it, he just was taking his big head. I hope he doesn't hear this, because you will know he's the one I'm talking about. Very bad attitude. You see, some people that disregarded the meeting, they will now be going for a special meeting. Nothing will happen. You decided church service. You came late. You're now fasting, present for camp meeting. Why did you fast for church service? You came late. That one you came in at your time. Is it not the same temple of God? Answer now. Wrong attitude. So if man was given to dress and keep the place, we have an attitude. 1 Timothy 4:3-15, you may know how you ought to behave. There is a way to be. And you see, that culture should go with you. You know there's something we mock people. I know you know, when you want to pray with somebody at your office or maybe family, they say, let us pray. And the person just takes a scarf quickly. Some of them even have it in their bag. So they just bring one notebook. Now, you will laugh at them based on what you believe you know. That a man, some of you, if I say, come and explain why you don't cover your hair, you will look. I don't know if I'm going to ask you directly. I was telling some students, I said, are you forgetting that I'm the one that asked you that question? I'm the one marking it. Yes. I'm the one that taught you. I'm the one that's going to mark it. So there should be, number one, the fear of the Lord. First and foremost. Before you start writing, you're going to write ask you a question. This question is something else. The person went to Luke 24. What would you think you're doing that for? Luke 24, 25, 27. There are men who call Damendra. What? Don't the answer, my guy. Who are you doing that for? How did I get there, Jerry? What took me to this? Scarf. And you say, yeah, scarf. But I think what we should learn is the fact that the person has an attitude about prayer. What attitude do you have about that kind of, about prayer? There should be your own attitude too. When you say, let us pray. I said, let's study the word. There should be an attitude you also have. You may call that religious because the person is looking for a scarf. But is there an attitude you have about a church service that is different from every other? You should have yours too. An attitude. In 1 Corinthians 2, 8, sorry, 1 Timothy 2, Paul says, look, everywhere, and of course, those instructions are for church. Lift up holy hands without wrath and doubt. He says the women adorn themselves with modest apparel. He gave instructions. He said, look, you lift up holy hands. You lift up holy hands without wrath and doubt. You lift up holy hands. When we come together, the instructions we have about our hands in the place of prayer is to raise, of course, when it comes to prayer, it delves also into worship or praise. We raise our hands. It's an attitude. And the epistles are congregational instructions. That means it's for all of us. When we come together, we have to do it. We raise our hands. You know, we bow our knees. There are things that should be in our attitude when we come to this sacred place, to this holy ground. Because I love that. Just why people are just allowed to express themselves. What does that even mean? Allowed to express themselves. Paul told them, said, look, in 1 Corinthians 5, he said, when you come to, are you mourning? You should be, there's an attitude, there's a guy having his father's wife, you're all looking and just ignoring. He said, no. He said, you should be sober about it. While in the world, he may be arguing and explaining why, you know, the guy, you know, yeah, you know, he in the world, he said, you know, the way he was raised by his family, you know, he was rejected. He was a son that was, his father denied his mother, the mother, that's why he's behaving like that. You can do that on blogs. So when we come together, that kind of thing should bring a mournful attitude. This is not the world. He said, look, don't you have homes where you can eat? I mean, there's an attitude we must have when we come together. He said, you wait. You do things in order. You know, that's the attitude we have here. Because it's God's secret place. If we're going to see the full manifestation of the holiness of our gatherings, it will first show in our attitude. The full manifestation, it will show in our attitude. It will. So, people in the house determine the atmosphere of their assembly. We do. But that's why it mustn't be a place where you are now discussing elections. You are discussing business. You can't do that here. It can't be a place where this is what you are resolving. You can't even use it to be attacking another man of God. No, sir. No, sir. No, not here. This is too sacred a place. Are we here? Too sacred a place. Oh, you know, forget about a place. Not about a place, about within. Within. Eh? Yeah, guy. What's within? Said, everything is within. The body of Christ is within you. What else is within? Angels. Who else is within you now? Demons. Don't be silly. We have that attitude. And those who lead songs too, it's an attitude. You know, the guys who want to entertain, you just say, yeah. He wants to come and lead songs, not you. And you focus on your makeup. You know, I'm not asking you to show up and then we start to pray. I say, stretch out your hands, hold on. Lord, whatever is going on, help us calm the storm. No, but you know, but I mean, you're praying, you're not looking at, I'm coming before God's people, I must impact their lives, I wait upon the Lord, I get, you know. I mean, I watched the making of God Will Make a Way, by the way, in the 90s. What goes into it? You know, the preparations. There was one like I saw by Bob Fitts, Live Worship, where he sang a song. How did he get that point? Like, Bob Fitts is a missionary. He said he had spent days waiting on the Lord. So when he got there, and he was saying, oh Lord, I receive your love. Of course, he sang the song. With the hands of love and mercy, I will tenderly place my hands there. He sang the song by the Holy Ghost. So when it got to the point, as we worship in your presence, there is healing. Thing just broke up. Pam! Holy Spirit and the touch is flowing. Jesus, we believe. Jesus, there's healing in your name. You see that? In fact, those days there was not much videos for you to be showing off your video and say, yeah. No, just minister to people. And you literally, You know, I was telling someone, I said, you know, you may not like, I just want to be where you are, because you know where you are, where he is where you are, here I am is where you are, you need me, you know, I think that song is supposed to counter that, I'm not sure, but it looks like this, what writer said, cancel. But the point is, you know, no matter how many times you hear that song, you know, there's something about the song. You know it came from somewhere. I am the Lord that he led thee. I am the Lord that... I mean, those are the kind of songs that should come out. Because you know where you are. Someone told me, said that when it comes to songs, in 5 years they are gone. I said, no. If it's of the Holy Ghost, it will stay forever. If it's the Holy Ghost, it's forever. Someone telling me that this song, oh Lord, Iris... No. Lord... Your lovely face is all I see. He said, I thought it was a song. I said, no, it's all 1979. Yeah, eh? He said, no, it's Keith Green. Sis. Those are songs that, you know, maybe by technology we don't get them again, but if you hear them, you know there's something fresh about this. And those are the kind of things that should come out of us when we come together. And I'll say this in addition. That, you know, also think about the universal church. Because I'll say this later on. We actually gather together too. When a church meeting goes on, the body of Christ is there. We'll get to that teaching one day. I've explained it a bit to you, you sit on high, when we talk about the General Assembly and we, because Paul says, I mean, what am I saying, Paul? He said, we have come to the General Assembly. And the word in the Hebrew is a continual word. In Greek, sorry, it's a continual word, come. So when we come to it, we have come. Then it talks about we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses. Talking about the believers as one. So we have that in mind. Are you here? So that's our attitude. We must carry that attitude. So that attitude you have on special meetings where you prepared extra, you were just talking about it. Make it a culture to do that for every sacred place gathering. Cell group meetings, prayer group meetings. That attitude, it's a place of revelation, it's a place of encounter, it's a place where God's hand upon me is renewed as well, the call upon my life. Let's view a few other things. Attitudes. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts. Of course, gifts is italicized, but it comes relevant later on. So where do you find gifts? In the temple, right? Good. I will not have you ignorant. So, now the ignorance there is not just the knowledge of what it is. It's also in the manifestation. So, look at me, guys. Which means in every service, I want to get better, right? I want to always get better. And that's what Pastor Chris said years back. We're praying for Believers of World Camp in 95. He said, people come and get healed. If I remember that day, what he said, it was so funny. Before he started Atmosphere of Miracles, he said, he was preaching in Creamy Liberty. No. That was later on. I think he preached in him. So he said, you know, we have to have healing service for the baby Christ. That's what he said. He said, you know, that's not the main attraction. And I said, you may think I'm not sick in the body. I don't need a miracle. He said, yes, you just need to get better. Believers, whenever we have meetings like that, we just get better. We just get better. That's how one of our guys just came upon that statement. Till we came upon him again. He said, does a new creature ever get better? you know, my friends, we'll just argue overnight. So, because it can't be improved upon. Ephesians 2:10. You are the workmanship, the word poema. It's that which has been accomplished and done. We argued and argued. And so now we argue, start eating, then eat, finish eating, start again. The next morning, he said, no! There was one that we did that was for 3 or 4 days. That one was on the song, Blessed Assurance. Oh, what a foretaste. TJ said, no, it's a foretaste. It can't be a fault. The man has all. Just stay there and start arguing. We'll argue, go out, come back, continue, eat, come back. So we said, can I go and prepare food for us? So he went to prepare food. And so he made yam. But he didn't peel it. He just put it inside. So we argue. So where's the food? So me, I was waiting for the food. Ah. Say, you just peel it, just peel it yourself. But it's not full taste. No, it's not. We now agree later that emoji. Just look at it and said, this was what I ended it. Maybe the third day or something. You just said, this pimples all over. This cannot be full taste. Now emoji. This has to be full taste. Just said, so be. Don't agree. Was it 95 or so? That's what we're doing. This can be, can be. I think there was somebody else who came in and said, you see your bald head, this can't be good. No, that it was Brotox. We said that his head was going in, see, this is, he agreed too. He wanted to show it to his, my head is going inside. It's not for taste, it's full taste. But imagine having a good attitude generally. Just have a good attitude for Christian meetings. You will not be ignorant. Let's just get better, right? Let's just get better. You know, I can be better in every service. Every service. Every prayer meeting, I can just get better in praying. Because I revere the place. So, like when I teach you honor, I teach you how to also honor the gathering of believers. Honor it. Treat it right. Give me the right attitude. If you are serving in any department, do it like Jesus is the one sitting on the chair. He's the one using the restroom. He's the one that wants to park his car. Do it well. He's the one you are taking the offering from. Don't go and take the basket and say, is that old Naira note? Hey, please hurry up. How much are you dropping? It's not 15 Naira. You just do anyhow. Oh, you're coming to church, and the usher says, stay there. I said, I'm not staying for long. Say, I know, say, I told you I'm not staying for long. Which part of the grammar don't you understand? In the house of God. Imagine if you said that, and God just shows you and goes like this. You say, no, it's a skit. Because you know that what you are saying is rubbish. But you know, truly he's here. And his glory is here. This is the house of his glory. So our attitude must show. So Paul says, don't be ignorant. But just go to verse 31. Covet. Hallelujah. Now these instructions are for gatherings. So when I come to church services, I shall have a fresh desire. This covet means to strongly desire. In every service, I strongly desire the moving of the Spirit. Say in every service, I strongly desire the moving of the Spirit. The Lord is here. I am not ignorant. I'm not ignorant. I strongly desire. And some of you, when it comes to camp meeting, you go stay in front. And the truth of the matter, let me say something. I mean, some of you may not like what I'm about to say. There's something about sitting in front too. Now, those are rushing. Any minister will tell you. Any minister. There is something about the circumference. I know. Yes, I use it. There's something about it. Some people, just, I don't know what they do. Just they will come in and they will stay at the back. Why do you want to stay at the back? They sit at the back and cross your leg. Because you want to sleep. Nobody will see you. It's always difficult for the cameras to see you. It's not a trance, so. It's gone. The Lord was here. We didn't know. Talk about the front. Get there on time. There is really something about it. There is. So, really, I mean, look at the shadows of Peter. Imagine if we are so far. Shadow. How tall can Peter be? His shadow. I mean, if it's, even if it's 7 feet, and you stay at that back of four square, it will get to you. It's the truth. You'll be saying, you know, I don't like all this rush in church. I just think that wherever you are, God will meet you. I heard you. He's going to come and meet you. I share the grace. So he says, covet earnestly. It's an attitude I must have for a sacred place. To covet earnestly. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Follow after. Follow after. Follow after supernatural things. My heart for supernatural things should be every service, right? Every service. I set my desire for supernatural things in every service. 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 I remember something my friend taught yesterday. He said, you decide the service from home. What do you say? What do you say in the room? What do you say on your way to church? You decide that service. Keep speaking about that service. You will see yourself revere and honor the service the more. It is sacred place. That's what it is. This is heaven and earth together. Verse 13. 12, sorry. He says, you are zealous of spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, 39. Covet to prophesy. Forbid not to speak with tongues. So those attitudes are anointings. That's what I mean. You know what I mean? Anointings. Coveting the things of God. Desiring, following after. If you are following after the things of God, you will have no conflict to resolve. You will have no strife in your mind. You will have no gossips. All those things stifle the move of God. They make things really go bad. Really go bad. Really go bad. Not following the instructions of those in leadership. They make things go bad. So we must look at our attitude to God's sacred place. It's what it is. Hallelujah. Now look at... Now how many of you in these meetings, you've had a very unique manifestation of the revelation gifts? Let me see. Just let me see your hand. Now, what do you think was it? It was just the attention. That can happen in every service. It can happen in every service. What makes it a special? We are the ones that say it's camp meeting. Then we pray towards, then we prepare. The preparation for a camp meeting is what we did. Is what we do. We say, okay, it's going to be Holy Ghost. Then we start to pray. We start to wait upon him. We fast. We pray. We do. You know, we stay our heart. We made it that way. And we can make church meetings the same thing. Hallelujah. A minister came to Nigeria. Came to preach for us. And he asked me. And he said, look. It was Makahan case actually. He said, when we had the meetings with him, he asked a question. He said, that have you been preparing them like for weeks? I said, no. He said, because what he saw here, his wife was there, Botox was there. He said, the wife said, I've never seen this before. That this is my first time of seeing the heaviness of God's glory. He said he has seen it in three places. Brother Higgins meetings, his meetings and his friends. He said he hasn't seen it elsewhere. So he said, what did you do? I said, nothing. It's just the attitude with which I teach them about the things of God. That's all. He said there was a unique hunger. And may that never change in us. Yeah. Amen. May it never change. He said, there's something. He said, I can't get over it. That it had never seen it before. But that day we went to the lobby, we were all quiet for a while. And I think he knelt down. And then, of course, saying stuff. And I said, Tox, what do you think? And then I said, and I asked him, and I said, he taught me. That we learned this from him. The attitude. I said, no, there was nothing. There was nothing. We didn't do preparation for Reverend Markankis. We said, guys, you know what we're going to do? I said, no. Just know that when we have meetings like that, we have taught people how to prepare. meetings. That's just the attitude for meetings generally. Somebody called me, person came from Warri or so, and said, I came from Believers Conference, said, it's just a uniqueness. I said, what is it? I said, well, number one is the grace of God upon our ministry, I know. Secondly, I said, it's just an attitude that we must have. When we say, no entertainment allowed. Me, I like entertainment. If you don't like entertainment, let me deliver you from lying. Not the entertainment because you have that one. It's from lying. I like entertainment. I like to be in church, in a place too. I'm just having fun. We do nothing. Someone saw me dance one day. I said, I didn't know you could. I said, you think I'm a statue? What kind of nonsense is that? He said, first, I don't see it in church. I said, see what's in church. Does this look like church? Did your head eat something? It's not church now. There's what we expect in church. And that informs our attitude, right? It's a place of supernatural revelation. It's a place of divine encounters. It's a place where we want our lives to be transformed. Our lives can't be transformed by entertainment. Our lives can't be transformed by just words. It has to be supernatural. If lives are going to change, it has to be supernatural. One person told me just a week before camp meeting, a person came for camp meeting and said, I had already thought about being an atheist. I was in between agnosticism and just being a curious seeker. He said, what changed things for me was that I attended a meeting. He said, it was not like they preached anything that I've never heard before. He said, but there was an atmosphere. I still can't describe it. He said, it's obviously there was a supernatural being present. I felt it and I knew it. He said, and I told myself that this is not my thinking. It's not me thinking now. This is something I can experience. So he said, when I came for camp meeting, and you said again, person spoke up. We spoke before and after camp. He said, when I came and you said, God is real. He said, I laughed because it's true. You know, and that is not because you said something, you explain. You know, let us carry the character of the Spirit into what we do. You know, I told you before camp meeting, I said, we're two or three. Now, when you are going for evangelism, is that a church meeting? I told you. Carry the character of the Spirit. When you are going, have you noticed that you seem to see more of the glory of God when you have greater consciousness? Exactly. Just have the consciousness. Before the meetings. Revere the meetings. You see some men of God are close here who are, you know, more elderly. When they get to church, and you see our parents do it, when they get to church, any service, the first thing they do as they enter the service has not started. They first pray, right? They first pray. Who just believe that we carry God? Carry God. King God. Carry God. What's up now? How's your week done? We carry God. You know, there are many gods. Just changing the attitude. Changing the, it doesn't mean you're going to be spooky or, you know, become very vague. But just the same attitude, expectant for the glory of God, expectant for the move of God. Carry that attitude. Amen. You know, before the service, after the service, you know, learn to do something after the service, after we pray. You can also sit down and just pray. Say, thank you, Father, for this service. I receive what's here in Jesus' name. And you just go. Hallelujah. And we're going to have more supernatural demonstrations. The kind of results. I mean, as you speak, as you go for evangelism, people will just be crying. It's the character of the Spirit. Character of the Spirit. You just have that peculiar conviction of God. Fall upon people. Because you are going with the sacred place mentality. This is God's holy place. And we must treat it right. This community church here, see, we're not the only church. We're not even, when it comes to knowledge of gospel, we're just growing. We're learning from others, you know, and all that. But we can be exemplary.
we can be exemplary in how we put together our meetings, how we treat the meetings, how we act. You know, some of us, sometimes we can be very impressionable. I said someone this morning, I said, you know, you now see some people, they are not the way you are in, to be like them. Mm-mm. Don't do that. Stick to the word. Stick to the move of the spirit. Don't try to be like people that should be like you. And we'll see the glory of God in greater manifestation. Let's just pray a bit more in tongues. And, you know, let's stand to our feet. And we'll just stir up our attitude in the things of God. For that two or three, for that physical assembly, it is holy ground. It is holy place. The moment we come together, it's holy. The moment we two or three in His name, it's holy. We stir up that attitude this evening. I will release our faith for all our meetings. We call them sacred places in the earth. We call all our cell meetings heaven and earth. We call all prayer group meetings heaven and earth. We call all workers meetings heaven and earth. We call all planning meetings heaven and earth. We expect encounters of God. It may not necessarily have the same character. We expect them. It's a sacred area, and we give it all the honor. We will not treat any other place as high, as reverential, as the garden of the saints. We will never give the honor of God's holy ground to any other place. This will take all the honor. This will take all the glory. This will take all the adoration. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Every cell group meeting, every fellowship setting meeting, center meeting, every leader's meeting, it's holy, holy,